The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life and the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn to your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world, and what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
Wander is, like we've seen Wander before, wandering, like they will and do and always will and always have, back and forth from the places we've seen Wander, from in between spaces like grains of sand and into caverns and almost what would seem to be infinity. A space cut out from the ground and the earth and the things we exist on and walk upon, and the things that you will exist on and walk upon. Wander has wandered the spaces in between that so fervently, and now has gotten bored of wandering on the crust and in the air and in the molecules of the beings, but has now begun to step down and is exploring the caves and the under-earth and the space between the tectonic plates that move and the motion is. Because even though there's the molecules to explore, there's the grandiosity of everything else, and you see the expanse of the ocean makes you feel when you stand on a dock and look out and know that you can't comprehend what is beyond that. You just see the blues meet each other. That's what you see, because Wander is exploration. I will often leave, and wandering will often leave, memories to be had and ideas to be had by those who will traverse the space that they were in before. But underneath, so rarely will this be traversed, and sometimes Wander gets to keep little things. Wander can have a bone for himself here and can have a piece of the old world here and there. And these things get stored for Wander. I think every now and again, Wander, perhaps a bit mischievously, takes a piece of whatever's down there and moves a little closer to the surface because, well, everyone should be able to see the beauties of the world that was there before. Just because they're not as adventurous as I am doesn't mean they don't deserve it. And I'll take the beauties, the crafts and pots and the bowls and the utensils that the people before used. Not the chapels, not the buildings, but the bricks and the plates and the toys. These little things that really, really make up what exactly adventure and wandering is. The first time we'll ever wander is when we play with something or have fun with somebody, and we'll really chase that. And so I make sure that everyone knows that before them, there was someone else who was wandering, and they will beg and wander forever where these things came from. I just push them up.
And you move through layers of earth and stone. Not burrowing, not a tunnel, just simply passing through. At one point, you stumble onto an ancient bone or a fossil, and with the touch of your finger, it begins rising up through the soil as though it was floating away. From time to time, everything hopes to be inspired to believe once again. And you cast these mysteries upward, to be found sooner, to be discovered sooner, to prod creation on to remain curious. Do you ever keep any of these items for yourself?
Yes. Like I said, Wander every now and again takes little bits for themselves, a bone here or a trinket there. I think that the only thing that Wander takes, it takes every time, is the meaning of texts. Scribes leave so many things behind, and typically when you find these things, you can read them, but I take their meaning away, so whoever finds them will have to try just a little bit harder to understand them. And that's fine, people can work for it, because I like what's there, and I know that if I just give it to them, they won't wander.
You come to the edge of a chasm surrounding the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. You can see the jagged bottom of it like a mountain turned upside down, and a deep void circling it like a vulture, or a prayer path in an attempt to raise the dead.
I think that as much as Wander, as much as I create for what's coming next, and I don't create, I leave behind to be explored, as much as I do that for everyone else, I do it for myself. And so even if there are places that cannot be reached or will not be reached for millennia, I go there. I reach down there because I wander for its purpose. That is my purpose. That is my existence. And so I go deeper and deeper, and I see what is left where those who may not have expected things to be explored, to be explored. I illuminate in this moment so I can see truly how the light would bounce off of the rock. I need to ask why and know why and how, and I just let these little sparkles come off of myself, whether it's a dull glow or a bright thrum. It bounces and gleams off of each rock, refracting in every capacity.
You remain in this crystal and fragmented space, all smooth and sharp and reflecting your light back at you. Your own reflection is everywhere.
A horrifying fascination. I've never explored my being. I've never explored the space in which I exist in this capacity because I've been so caught up in exploring everything else. I don't know what I am. I begin crafting, and I think that perhaps it's because I saw myself and decided I don't need to know anything about myself. I craft a small shrine or dais to myself. It's for me, and then I break a little piece off and I let it float to the top. And no matter how hard they look until they make it here, till they make it where I've worshipped myself, will they ever understand that there is something here greater than them? Would it be okay if I made the geotrine, but I accented it with parts of myself? I want them to know that there's things that are greater than them. Gods and worshipping will always happen, and I want the proof. It might take them so long to find it, but I want the proof. And the thing I float up doesn't have any piece of me. It is just part of the shrine. It's the geode portion. But when they get down here, when they've done the work, then they'll find the shrine that's made of me and made of geodes and light. And no, definitively. I got a 7. I choose one. What you create will be kept a secret but revealed at a time outside of your control. That's as much as it's the role is so purposeful, because I don't want to give it to them. They must wander and wonder and discover. And I, like I said, I leave it probably just below the bones. There's bones and ruins, and you find those first and you learn about the what was here before first. And then below that you find this piece of a shrine, and then you must dig deeper. And so it'll be found, but not when I choose, when they choose, when they've lusted after truth and have had desire for understanding beyond their space and beyond what they can, where they can stand, to the point where they have to go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Shroud is sitting on the edge of a seaside cliff with a small, interesting lighthouse just short distance away. Their form, if you were to close your eyes, would be amorphous and enigmatic. The shadow that bounces on the ground whenever the sun reflects through leaves. They seem to be made of shifting mist and twilight, and they're always merging in the shadows that are their surroundings, and they have flickers of dancing bioluminescence that glow within their body. And as they gently ripple there on the edge of the cliff, taking in the gray sky that goes down to meet a gray ocean that goes down to meet a gray pebbled beach with the waves softly lacing up against the stones, and listening to a soft marbling whoosh as it ebbs in and out and in and out. They're caught swaying to the sound whenever they catch the whiff of age. They taste something ancient and interesting on the air as they look over to the lighthouse and realize that the lighthouse's delectable taste that they can sense. And it inspires them to to build something new, something old. And they gently begin to float down from their cliff towards this bay, like a dewdrop, slowly sliding down a silky spider web. And as they land on this pebbled beach, taking in the sameness, the monotony, the almost nightmarish eternity of the gray that surrounds them, they dig deep into the earth, feeling for something different. And bring up new growth of crisp white and dingy browns and sultry reds and juicy purples and ecstatic yellows as flowers begin to grow, but not typical flowers as we might know them, but some have horns, some have wings, and some have claws or skulls growing beneath the soft palates of petals. Some bind and twist in shape that would be impossible to name. And it breaks up that peaceful monotony as they grow this beautiful garden of dead things from this shallow bay.
You hear the water and the movement, the song of the seabirds, the air filled with the weight of salt and feather and coral, like a garden asking you if it gives you joy.
Shroud sways and spins and whirls in their new garden as they do find joy in the ocean, something that's vast, mysterious, and playful, while at the same time bringing peace and mystery. There's something that feels very much wistful about the ocean, but at the same time, there's such a big difference. The ocean that remains, the ocean that is constant, while Shroud really enjoys the comings and goings of things. Things that must come to an end, because if they didn't, it might get boring. I think there's a recognition, not necessarily a love, just an understanding that there's pieces of decay, and there's all different types of ways that it can manifest in this world. So even in that recognition, there's also that reverence of what makes each one of these pieces different. There's something to be said about a story. Whenever it's being told, it is in progress. And that is how Shroud feels, is very much in progress without a known end, but knowing that there will be a sweet end. I would like to instill a sense of growth into this garden. Okay, 5 for the dice, and I have a +2 to grow, so a 7. This garden runs deep. Seeds that are buried, that are present that are ready. And the initial blooms, as beautiful as they may also be impermanent. But that's also the beauty of it. Shroud takes a look at this garden, picks their favorite of the flowers, one that is silver with a small canine tooth growing in the middle of it that shines like moonlight on a moth's wing, and lets it go into the ocean. And from there, they look back and have that feeling like whenever you meet someone new and interesting and exciting in passing, and when you leave, you are content in the understanding that you may never see them again. And they begin to float back up the cliff, yearning for something new, feeling that sense of play as they yearn for something to do, perhaps with a little bit more gusto. And as they wander, they have a sense of direction and purpose, while at the same time feeling lost. Their enigmatic shadow leaves a trail of bioluminescent mushrooms behind them on the earth.
We see smoke clearing, the sounds of battle fading, and in the background, the bone-to-bone click of dice as we look to one another here around this table surrounding where our story took place. Our imagination easily gets the best of us because we use Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. They also offer downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home for when reinforcements are certainly needed. Hero Forge is adding new items to the catalog every week so that the tavern will always have that mysterious guest. And with subscriptions starting at just $3.99, you'll have everything you need with Hero Forge at heroforge.com.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitchertin is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Marovich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
though not drawn actively, I think Wander, like he's done, like I've done, like we've done for many bones and many things before, for people to discover, I've given myself that weightlessness and allowed myself to move through the crusts and the tectonic plates and the motion and the dust of the earth to where I was meant to be. I've appeared here not of my own lust and not of my own wanting and exploration, but I've appeared here because it's here that I need to be in this moment. And to me, a whale boneyard, a whale mound, is a thing that I know will incite a child to study and learn. And maybe of 50 children who get to take a ship out this way and see these things, one will be beside themselves with the yearning and the lust for what this knowledge could give them and for what they could know about this, that this is enough and worthy enough to remain here, just as many of the things that I've left. And maybe here, I just bubble a little idea again and leave it here. There's bone mounds to be explored. I bubble a little idea, and there's things that grow on death, and I leave these things here to be had as ideas for the first time, not by me, but by whoever will be inspired to explore from this place.
Yeah, upon seeing Wander, it's like the first tree that reveals its colors in autumn, or perhaps the last. The timing just feels right. I think that shroud has that sort of sway to their body as they begin to dance around Wander, inviting them to explore the ship and to dive into this skeletal boneyard.
Shroud, did you make these things to decay? And I point at the things that are growing on the boneyard.
Shroud's bioluminescence flickers as you understand that they didn't create them, but they are them and they know them.
Oh, that's delightful. Are you wandering now?
There's a hint of glee as they continue to dance in the shadows of this ship.
Yeah, and I think that I had never considered that a dance or an expression could be a form of wandering. It was all so meticulous and calculated. There's just so much to explore, and I chose not to explore myself, but you can wander through yourself with those steps, and I begin to follow you and just tail you in a haphazard but expressive attempt at a dance.
Shroud leads you through the ribs, around the skull, between the teeth, up through the rotting wood in a waltz that at some points is frantic and fast and at other points slow and methodical.
I think that with each step or each motion we make of this dance, of this waltz, that is more emotion than thought. Wander leaves bits of emotion and bits of himself more than he ever had in this boneyard. Whoever's going to discover the ideas I left here is going to discover that they can dance and that they can explore themselves endlessly. And I follow. Would you send me back now? I think it's time for me to go somewhere else, but I'm still here.
There's a feeling of cold as mint feels when it meets the tongue. And there's a release as you are sent, pushed away with cloud and mist from Shroud's side.
Yeah, with that push away, I think that is where Wander, or this version of Wander, begins to decay with that coldness. Not harmful, it's cool like mint, like you said, and it is softer than I think this Wander expected. And I just go. I think at least for Wander, I don't know about how it occurs for Decay, but this is the natural conclusion to when I've explored everything in an area, is that this version of me goes, and then there's more of me to explore elsewhere. And so for me, it's natural.
What would Shroud feel as they make contact with Wander?
You would feel that every idea and everything that I've left here as a part of myself has been my own slow decay. It's purposeful, and it's purposeful in the way that a flower spreads its pollen. I don't control it, I just do it. And you almost get a map to all the things I've made and created as you free me from this job.
I think with that feeling, there would be that acceptance as well, that end to a story that feels natural as they pull away, the bioluminescence begins to slowly disperse.
How do you feel about shape?
That's the one I was thinking.
Okay. My shape is a 1.
I also have a 1.
Oh, amazing. So it doesn't matter. I rolled a 1.
I rolled a 4.
So we got 6. Unfortunately. That's beautiful.
One to six, it is out of your hands. And what adventure could be more true than not knowing where these fragments of you will reform? Decay, you are holding curiosity incarnate as it turns to ash and its echo dims as Wander dissolves through your fingers.
This feels meant to be. It doesn't feel overpowering. It feels like acceptance. It feels like a new chapter starting at the end of another.
Truly like I think death will feel for most of the beings here is how death will feel for Wander in this moment. It's not the same everywhere I wandered to, and I'm never the same Wander everywhere I wandered to, but if this place holds on to the people that go, I yearn and hurt because I'm not celebrated but held on to. But if this place celebrates their lost ones and leaves them offerings and reminders and nourishes the fact that they had life and aren't just gone, then I'm freely liberated. But either way, I'm gone. And it's up to however this place will feel about those who they'll lose on how Wander feels when he is gone and going. And I think that Wander just is gone, is unmade in his entirety. Each version of me is made of the things that will be where I'm doing my job, and I cannot take that part with me.
That in their final moments, as their twinkling lights that make up their shadowy form begin to fade, that there are no wishes left unfulfilled. They are very satisfied with the dance that they've had in this place.
We close the book just for now, though there is not a very long ways left to go. But there's still a little heart work to attend to if we hope to one day resemble a place one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for this episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. Hey you there, I've been wondering if you have a name.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I do 5 gems in a trench coat. I'm over there being way sillier than what's going on over here. Except for my most recent character that's been out for like a month. He's a bummer. Don't listen to that one. No, listen to everything. They're all so good. I love our show so much. We do so much fun stuff. Rara's on a miniseries. Go check that out. Check out all of us. Everyone on 5 Gems is so talented, and we only ever have amazing talented guests. And so come check us out. It's a great time.
The amazing multi-award winning 5 GMs in a trench coat.
I forget that sometimes. It's silly. It's silly to me. It is. I'm like, what?
D capital K, do you have a name and what would it be?
I'm Forrest. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram, recovering academic, because I did too much school. And that's my story. I do cosplays. I play TTRPGs. I'm in a really fun campaign right now with LMNOP on their YouTube channel. And yeah, just bopping around doing cosplays, playing dress up, and playing pretend.
And I'm Rara, but that's enough about that.